Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio broadcast. We're excited to be with you today, and in our studio is a guest host, Dr. Matt Williams. Dr. Olala, our normal co-host on the broadcast, is away on a ministry trip today, and we're looking forward to his return and to having him back in his normal place on the program. But today we are going to continue a conversation that we have had on the last two broadcasts with you, Dr. Williams, about your book that you have recently reminded us of. I know you wrote the book some years ago entitled How to Be a Team Player. Tell me a little bit about the book.
Well, it's a book on relationships. It's a book on how do we function with the people that we are around. I was actually asked to write a book on staff relationships because I'd been associate pastor for a number of years. I'd been a second man, as people often call them. And so my pastor, Carl Herbster, had asked me, why don't you write a book on the second man? Well, when I thought about it, I really thought about, you know, there's much bigger spectrum than just a person who's a second man and a pastor. There are staffs, but then also all of us function in a network of people where we have people over us, we have people that are co-laborers, we have people who are underneath us,
yeah.
And how do we function with those? And you know what? There's all kinds of scriptural principles there.
Well, in the last two broadcasts, I've been real excited because as you've been talking to us about these principles, really, yes, they apply to a church staff, but they apply in such broader ways to every arena of our life, our family, any ministry that we have with other people on a volunteer basis. Some of our people, perhaps in our churches or even our listeners, are involved in volunteer organizations. And particularly what I'm very excited about is hearing how these principles apply to us as we live our life as salt and light in a secular world that God has called us to reach.
Well, and that is such a key. God left us here for a purpose. I mean, if salvation was the only purpose, then after salvation, you know, why be here? But we rub shoulders with people each and every day.
Well, you
and
said
it. Influence.
You said it so well in the previous broadcast, and you're going to have to remind me of how you said it about our purpose.
Let your purpose prioritize your life. That, to me, is a principle that comes from Romans chapter 12,
mm-hmm.
that tells us that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so it's only reasonable that we give ourselves back to God and prove to him and others of what life is really all about. That's our
purpose.
Well,
if our purpose is to prioritize our life, we better get that purpose right.
Well, we really should. Think of Philippians 2, where Christ, he made himself of no reputation, but then it says, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He knew his purpose. And even though a wonderful teacher and discipler and all of miracles and all the things that he did, he knew his purpose.
You know, this is really the answer to the midlife crisis, isn't it? I mean, here's a guy who's been working at a job for 15 years and he's been doing the same thing and he's a little bit tired, he's a little bored, and he's wondering, is there anything left for me? And work has just become a grind. And boy, there's a purpose change when he realizes, you know what, I'm really not here for me, I'm not here to get a paycheck. I am here to advance the cause of Jesus Christ, to represent him. I think you had a way of phrasing that. We're to represent him and to demonstrate Christ's likeness to those around us in our workplace.
Well, and you and I are in ministry, and we have a wonderful opportunity to rub shoulders with a lot of people, but people in the workplace rub shoulders with folks that will never have an opportunity.
Oh, and that's what's exciting.
That is.
That is what's exciting. Now, we spent a lot of time, in fact, we spent two broadcasts talking about how we can do this with our authorities. And you talked about the principle of submission, and we began to discover that submission, which we normally think of as a duty and a burden, is actually a great blessing. It's the way forward in ministry to people and those relationships that we're talking about. And you gave us two unbelievable principles. It's not just obedience. It's the idea of honoring and being loyal to those that God has placed over you, including and especially perhaps even those who are unsaved.
Yes, very true. God shares that in many scriptures. I think of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, where it tells us that we're to be servants to all of those who are over us. But it says if you have believing masters, we're to do them service,
mm-hmm.
not take advantage mm-hmm. of them. How many employers have you talked to over the years that, in a sense, they almost say, you know what, I'd almost rather have non-Christians
yeah.
work
Boy,
for
that's
me.
Terrible, isn't it? That's
it,
just
it,
a
it
terrible.
It really is.
Well, let's shift focus away from the authorities in our lives to, you mentioned there was another set of relationships that we have, and that is those that are our peers, those that are our co-laborers to us.
And there's so many in that aspect when you think of on the job, those that we work with each and every day. Some are Christians, some are non-Christians, even in the church. Here are people, fellow Christian, fellow believers, and we're Sunday school teachers with them, or we usher with them, maybe we're deacons in the church, but how do we work with one another? Not everybody thinks alike. Sometimes we might even disagree. And as I, as I mentioned last broadcast, I think the fact that I've come to the conclusion after 36 years of ministry now,
full-time
ministry, that everybody's okay as long as they get their way. But we don't always get our way. And then how do we function? How do we handle those things? You know, in Colossians chapter 3, it tells us, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. To me, there's two words as I look at co-laborers. And you can see it here. You can see it in that Philippians 2 passage where Paul was saying of Timothy that if he couldn't come to the people at Philippi, he said, I'll send Timothy. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Those two passages and many others in scriptures, to me, what they share with me is that number one, with co-laborers, there needs to be a cooperation. There needs to be a support of one another. How can I not just help my superior to succeed, but how can I help my co-laborers to succeed? You know, being on a church staff for a number of years, I was kind of the resident historian. I'd been there longer than the pastor had. I always said I hired my own boss when he came in there. And so I had been around there for a while. You know what? I felt like it was my responsibility to try to help people to adjust and to succeed, because they're coming in, they didn't know all the things of, you know, being new on a staff or new in a church. And how could I help them to succeed? To me, that was being support to them, cooperating with them. And it's the same thing as God places us with co-workers, co-laborers. Okay, what can I do to help them? We all have our strengths. Mm-hmm. And we all have our weaknesses. We found, even on a church staff, that if there was something that was a weakness of mine, you know what, if I could pull in one of my co-laborers
that had a strength in that area. Sure.
Then we can really move forward. And to me, in the church even, helping people have using their gifts and abilities.
You know, and that is such a strange model in many of our fundamental churches. The idea that the pastor has to be the guy doing everything. Mm-hmm. And God gives a team. God gives a team, and every member on that team has a role to play, and God has given strength and weaknesses so that every part, and this is what he talks about, every part of the body needs to fit together, and every joint supplies what is needed that the joint has to supply for the successful outworking of that body.
And see, it's not a competitive thing.
No.
It's not that, okay, I want to have more recognition, or, boy, he gets more recognition than I do.
Or I'm the pastor, bless God, and this is the way it's going to be in this church. And, brother, if you don't like it, hit the road.
That's exactly, yeah. And, see, I use this phrase, to me, with spiritual gifts, when we're talking about that in the church, it's someone to have maximum effectiveness with minimum weariness. Mm-hmm. And that's what, because I'm a firm believer that God gives.
Now, say that again.
To have maximum effectiveness with minimum weariness. In other words, there's...
Now, I want you to say that one more time, because I need that.
To have maximum effectiveness, but with minimum weariness. Let me give you an example. First pastor that I worked for, he was an exhorter, and this guy, I mean, he could preach 10 times a day, I would say, and it didn't faze him a bit. He was so fired up. But you get him to try to organize something, he was like a wet noodle. I mean, it would just wear him down. I'm just the opposite. I mean, I can organize and plan and put things together, and I get energized doing that. Now, I enjoy speaking, but, you know, by the time I finish a message or finish a Sunday school, man, I'm a little weary. This guy was motivated by – see, to me, that's different gifts and abilities.
See, and I like the noodle part. I enjoy eating. I enjoy the eating part of that.
I think we all have that gift. That comes at salvation.
You know, when we talked about authorities, there was a governing principle called submission.
Mm-hmm.
And you taught us about that in the workplace, in the secular workplace, and you said the way forward is to honor and to be loyal. It seems like the governing principle when it comes to co-laborers is something like sincerity.
That's exactly what it is, and that's what it says in Colossians, because it says, servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not as eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. That means sincerity of heart. What did it say in Philippians 2? That Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state.
All right. Now talk to me about sincerity. When you talk about sincerity, and let's talk about it where most of our listeners live in their secular workplace. When you talk about sincerity, what do you mean? I know it involves what you've been talking about, cooperation and support, and I love the way you put it, so that we can have maximum effectiveness with minimum weariness. But what do you mean by sincerity?
I mean that you're genuine, that you wholeheartedly put yourself into what you're doing, not just in action, but in attitude. Now, we talked about that last broadcast with those over us, but it's the same way with those with it. There was a lady years ago that I worked with on staff, and she was a very gifted lady. She could do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And let's say she was hosting a baby shower at church. Mm-hmm. She expected everybody to be at that baby shower. And I mean, if a lady didn't come to the baby shower that she hosted, she was a little,
bless
use
her
a
heart,
theological term, she was ticked, you know, that this lady didn't come to her. And she'd let her know about it.
And she'd let him know. She got burdened.
But guess what? She would never go to any other baby showers. Only the ones that she hosted.
Oh.
So in other words, if she was in charge and control, she expected everybody to be there. But she really didn't cooperate and support the mm-hmm. efforts of other mm-hmm. people. That's the same way I believe in the workplace. How can we help other people to succeed? How can we make them feel like they are a part and that we're a part of what they are doing? Be excited about them. And, you know, when we get into even individual lives, be excited about what they're interested in. You know, maybe we don't have a lot in common, but try to be interested in what they're interested in.
A lot of times you'll have kids and they're playing on soccer league, or their daughter's getting married, or there's something going on. They're going out, you know, their anniversary's coming up, and cooperation is involved. What I'm getting from you, cooperation is much more than just, hey, I'm on your team at work.
Right.
I mean, it's the idea of being on your team in life.
I'm interested in you. Your wife's been sick. How's she doing? Hey, what can I pray for you about? Mm-hmm. And can you imagine the impact if we went up? They know that we're churchy people. Mm-hmm. But if we go up to somebody and say, listen, I just want you to know my wife and I have been praying for you. How's your wife doing? Mm-hmm. See, that's genuineness.
And
that's
when you
sincerity.
Drop a little, you know, a meal by, or maybe a pie or something, you know, those little touches are – that's part of what you mean by support. You're helping to support them in their life.
That's exactly right.
Because oftentimes they come to work and their greatest burden is not getting through their to-do list. Their greatest burden is the fact that their wife might have cancer.
Yeah.
And how are we going to deal with this with the kids?
Yeah.
Well, I know that our time is gone today. I don't know where the time goes in these broadcasts. This is incredibly helpful. How to have biblical relationships, how to be a team player in life. And for those of you who are interested, we have been talking with Dr. Matt Williams, author of How to Be a Team Player. And if you would like a copy of that book, let us know. You can write us or call us or email us or visit us on the web. And for a donation of $10 or more, we'll be glad to send you your own copy of How to Be a Team Player. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.